Radio Ray RTE, The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, The Sixth Commandment on BBC has been getting rave reviews. Subject matter not so good. It tells the horrific story of murder victims Peter Farquhar and Anne Moore Martin at the hands of convicted murderer Ben Field. Ben Field is played by our next guest, Aina Hardwick. How are you doing, Aina?
I'm not too bad, Ray. How are you getting on?
Good to talk to you. We've talked a lot about you on the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, because we watched Lakelands, and we spoke to Robert and Patrick, who the writers and directors,
yes.
And then we spoke to Danielle Galligan, who's your co-star. And I thought just the two of you did brilliantly in it. It was a really, really good movie, Lakelands. Highly recommend it from here.
Thanks a million.
And you were in Normal People as well. You were in Smother, and now you're in The Sixth Commandment, and you play the part of a psychopathic murderer who is still alive and in prison, Aina.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is very recent past. You know, the story came to light probably in 2018-19, but it takes, you know, the real events took place in the last kind of decade. So yeah, it's very recent. It's, you know, this took place in a small village called Maidsmorton in Buckingham, where Peter and Peter Farquhar and Anne Moore Martin lived. So yeah, it's very recent memory.
Yeah. And you're brilliant in it, because it's a difficult ask, isn't it? First of all, it's a real life person still alive, and they had to charm their way into the lives of Peter and Anne Moore Martin. So that's the psychopath, because we read about psychopaths and we know that they can be very disarmingly charming, and yet there has to be a hint at somebody who's capable of murder.
Yes. I mean, I was lucky in that the writing from Sarah Phelps is just as good as it gets. And I read it and kind of felt like everything was contained in that. You know, that was the map of how to play it and how to sort of, you know, follow that story. But then there was lots, you know, there's a documentary made about this a couple of years ago. Very, very good documentary, which is on Channel 4. And so there was that to go on. There was people to talk to connected to the case. There was lots to read about. So, you know, there was a lot to go on, and then I was just in great hands. We had a fairly incredible director, Saul Dibb, and
a great cast as well.
I mean, like, a phenomenal cast. When, you know, Timothy Spall, Anne Reid, Annabelle Scully, Sheila Hancock, like, the list goes on. Conor McNeil, and it was my first time working in the UK. It was my first time working with any of the actors. Well, I'd worked with Jonathan Harris actually before, in a job in Dublin, and it was like things get so much easier when you're working with brilliant people like that. They kind of lift you up to their level. So yeah, it was a really special job to do, actually.
So talk to me a little bit about, you know, it is dark. It's very dark, obviously. And as I say, Ben Field, convicted murderer, in prison. I see he's appealing his conviction. Did you ever think about the fact that he would be looking at you, watching you play him?
Not really.
No.
There's a tightrope you walk when you do things like this. You know, you read the script, and that's your starting point. And obviously, I went out and did every bit of research I could, and did all my due diligence. And there was a need to be very, very accurate and very, I suppose, focused on the kind of the facts in telling the story. And I let that be my guide. But after a point, you just have to put that behind you. And the only way you can serve the story, and it's a story I cared a lot about, is to kind of put that behind you and play the role as kind of down the line as you can.
Because his family are still alive, and the families of Peter and Anne are still alive as well.
Yeah.
So that's a consideration. It's getting huge plaudits. So do you know when you're doing this, or did you know when you're doing it, that it was something special?
I knew it was quality. Like, from across the board, all the creative team behind it, the writing, the actors, the director. I knew it was, and I knew that the story was deeply moving. Like, on the page, it was deeply moving. And then when I saw it, probably a couple of weeks before it came out, that it took me by surprise, because I suppose you're sort of staying in your lane, kind of doing your job, and you're not really thinking too much about the other moving parts and the kind of the overall story. And I just found it a deeply moving piece of work. I mean, what I suppose is different about this, in the kind of realm of, you know, true stories or true crime, although I don't really think it fits into that category very easily, it's about Peter and Anne's lives. And, you know, the story sort of radiates out from there. It, you know, we meet their families, we meet Ben, obviously, and then we meet, you know, the police investigation. But it always kind of comes back to them, and it's about their lives as well as their deaths. And for me watching it, I just thought, you're brought so well into their inner world, you know, down to what Peter and Anne, or what Timothy and Anne do with the roles. Yeah, I knew the quality was there, but you can never really predict the reaction. And it's been lovely. It's been so lovely that people connect to it on that level, you know.
So the third episode is on tonight, and then the final episode tomorrow night on BBC One. Are you from an acting background, Anna?
No, not at all. I think my mum did a play in university.
Right, one play.
She played a guard. Right. She did one play, and that was it. In and out.
Right. So where did it come from then?
It came in around 2002, when Giffgrub was kind of at its, like, when there was Saipan was going on. There right. was, you know, there was all of that Mick McCarthy, Roy Keane, on the radio. I don't know what it was about it, but I just thought people doing impressions and funny voices was the best crack ever. So I started doing that. I remember getting a couple of quid at a christening from people saying, do your Mick McCarthy or do your Niall Quinn. And that was my, like, first performance, I suppose. But
I suppose you would find Roy Keane quite easy because you're from Cork.
You know, I think in hindsight, I was always doing an impression of an impression of Roy Keane.
Oh, you were doing Mario Rosenstock's version of Roy Keane.
I was doing Mario's Roy, but like, which in itself is just a brilliant Roy. But the thing about Keane, he's evolving always. The accent's always changing, I think.
Yeah, he's in that. It's on Sky. Overlap is the name, but he's touring the UK and Ireland in the company of is it Jamie Carragher and somebody else? Anyway, it's very funny.
Oh, and Gary Neville, is it? Or yeah,
it's Gary Neville. Yeah, it's very funny. He's very funny. Very funny guy. Very quick-witted.
He's very, very quick-witted.
Yes, yeah. So I have to ask you to do a Roy Keane or a Mick McCarthy or a Niall Quinn, whichever you want to do.
Are you going to sabotage my career before it's even started, Ray?
Well, you brought it up. I didn't know this. I didn't know that Mario Rosenstock was your inspiration. Just like
James Galway
was Lizzo's inspiration.
I need to listen to a little bit more Mario, I think, before
right,
I go
okay,
back there.
There you go. You're very guarded. You're very guarded, that Anna Hardwick. Yeah. So normal people, it's hard to believe. Is that you shot that 5 years ago now? Is it
four
years ago?
Yeah, right. But still, that does kind of shock me.
Yeah, and it's Lear was because a lot of your Paul Mescal and you and a lot of people were from the Lear Academy.
There was a load of us on that playing pals, playing friends who had been either in the same year or in around the same year. Yeah, so it was kind of surreal. It was like it was just a kind of continuation of, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Our Friday night lives, we just kind of carried it on to that job, and it was amazing. It definitely made things a bit easier. The chemistry was there, I suppose.
And you could do your own accent as such in Lakelands probably as well. Now you're English in the Sixth Commandment, and now I know it all makes sense now because Sir Cormac said upstairs that you enjoy doing accents, so that dates back to 2002 and Giffgrub.
Well, I think the voice is such a, like, personal thing. No two voices are the same. And that's my way in to most things. Very often you're asked to do your own accent for things now. And while that opens things up in a brilliant way, I often feel like I can never just do my own accent because that will, you know, inevitably be a lot of me. Sometimes that's what's required. But yeah, there was something very particular about this voice that I wanted to get right. And I was lucky. I worked with a great dialect coach, Emma Stevens-Fisher. And I had a great dialect coach in the Lear, Gavin O'Donoghue. And yeah, it's always something I've liked, because I think it's, yeah, there's the authenticity bit and there's getting it right, but really it's just the voice in general is such thing.
What Stephen Graham says, it's the walk for him.
You can see that, can't you? He's always, he's got that down to T, you know, he's very particular.
He gets the walk first and then that helps him get into character. Yeah, so it's whatever
works. Key you have, you know, and it can change job to job, but you know, there's often it's just like one slight thing, and once you have that, you can sort of rely on your instinct then.
You're off, you're in the zone. Ian is perfect in The Sixth Commandment, as are his co-stars. Well done to you all. Up Cork, that's Maeve. Ina, I'm sure we'll talk again. Good luck with everything. And as I said, Sixth Commandment, third episode tonight, and then the fourth and final one tomorrow on BBC One at 9 o'clock. Ina Hardwick. Thanks, Ina. Bye now.
Thanks.
Bye. Anish Toshinam, the Preach Skelton and Oakdale, Kieran O'Farda.